right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, a couple more texts, and I'll jump right on to the dippers. Alice from Huntsville just texted in, says, talking about the unelected, we don't know about running the country. How about Hunter sitting in on it? Yeah, so that's a story that broke last week, is that a lot of these high-level meetings, many of which are classified, now have the convicted felon's son sitting in with his dad. Why would that be? I don't know. I can't tell you. Except his dad did say that he felt like he was the smartest person he'd ever met. So there is that. But, you know, who can explain anything about the Biden family right now? It's almost like they've got their claws in the White House and they are not letting go. Lewis from Trinity says, if he's not good after 8 or 6 p.m., that's known as sundowners. It's part of Alzheimer's. I agree. And sundowners is clinically diagnosable, obviously. It's a big deal. It also appears to be very evident. And you can see the decline just in his time in office. And listen, that's an extremely stressful job. It's a 24/7 job. For 4 years, at the very least, you are required to be on your game 24/7. And we're going to talk about it later. I'm not going to try and spend all my time jumping into a dipper early because I got other stuff to cover. But the reality is, just this past weekend, I've been reading, I don't know if y'all have ever read any of Jack Carr's books. I like his stuff, The Terminal List and the series of books that goes along with it. I just finished his latest. I tend to read like a novel and then a nonfiction, then a fiction, then a nonfiction. So I like Jack Carr's stuff a lot. The most recent book, there's one scene, I won't give away the book, but there's one scene where they are in the White House Situation Room and they are engaging in heavy diplomacy to avert a worldwide crisis, basically World War III. And it's not like, it's not sensationalized. It's the conversations that go on. And then it's getting the foreign leader on the phone and talking to them. And then it's giving the directives to tell the different departments what I need you to do and you do. It's the decisiveness. It's the insight. It's the wisdom. And I read that scene and here I am reading it this past weekend, right? And I could not but help but read that and go, my gosh, can Biden even do that? Because the scene that I'm reading is occurring at 3 a.m. And I'm thinking, at 3 a.m, what is he like at 3 a.m? How long is it taking to get him up and moving? I don't know, but the fact that we have to ask that question is a problem. The very fact that we are sitting here the very fact that I can't even get to my other dippers because I'm covering this right now is a problem. Because it is something on everyone's mind. Why? Because all of our national security, it's not his job, it's our national security. It's not his White House, it's our governance. It's not his decision making, it's our living with the consequences of his inability to make a decision. It's not his economics, it's our economy. Every bit of this is on us. He can dodder along and eat pudding in the White House and maybe have a nap time and put a lid on his day early. We're the ones who are the beneficiaries of the problem. So all that to say, when someone says to you, and like I've got some folks on social media, when someone says to you, well, you're just mad because, yes, I am. And listen, it's not about the person. Keep that in mind, too. This is not about the person, Joe Biden. This is about the policies and the results. That's what it's about. They could swap him out for Kamala, and the policies would be the same. They could slap in a Gavin Newsom or a Gretchen Whitmer, and the policies would still be the same. We got to get the policies straightened out. It's going to take a new person, yes, but the policies are what we ought to care about. JT Lacey Spring says, you're misgendering Joe. He's now a black female. way to break the tension there, JT. All right. Listen, let's jump on into the next topic. All right. First dipper, saving Title IX. So if you're not familiar, one of those policies that I was just referring to a moment ago is the Biden administration's interpretation of Title IX. 1972, I believe it was, Title IX was put in place to protect basically to protect women. It does a variety of things, but some of the things you can expect from Title IX, the provisions therein, would be to make sure that, say, women's sports, women's access to education, women's protections, if you will, that they are not disabused of the rights that they should because of their gender. Well, Title IX is being rewritten. Why? Because the Biden administration's Department of Education, all by itself, the Department of Education, all by itself, decided it was going to reinterpret Title IX. It's not just about sex. It's not about discrimination on the basis of sex. We interpret, says the Department of Education under Secretary Cardona in the Biden administration, we interpret sex to mean gender identity. Oh, okay. Well, that opens up Pandora's box. On social media, just this morning, I saw a little, I don't know, there were a replay of a video of some, bless her heart, poor soul, who has different bracelets she wears. Each one identifies one of her many genders. And whatever she feels like that day is the one she's going to wear so that all of her coworkers will know which one she is. Well, we used to call that schizophrenic. Now it's called gender identity. And apparently it's fluid by the day, so much so that you have jewelry to match. Y'all, that's a mental state, all right? That is a psychosis. That's a diagnosable event. But the truth be told, under the Biden administration's new interpretation through the Department of Education, that person can change every day on a whim and put you in the position of not knowing how to act, and you're the one who's the problem. Well, Phil, how does this work? I mean, what are you saying? What does this do for me? Well, how about this? One of the protections that it removes is the protection from discriminatory accusations, or accusations of discrimination, put it that way. Accusations of discrimination, meaning what? You're at school and you see a dude, and the dude's walking in the girls' room. And you look at the dude and you say, dude, that's a girl's room. And they say, you're misgendering me and I'm filing a complaint for discrimination. Oh, I guess you didn't notice what bracelet they were wearing. There you are. You are now stuck under the interpretation of Title IX in every school. That can happen. And you're the problem because, yes, you saw a boy who yesterday you know for a fact was a boy because his name was Johnny or something. And today he's Jeannie and he's walking in the girl's room. And now you're open to a discrimination claim. Am I being, I don't know, a little too far-reaching here? No. That's exactly what they're already doing. Now they have the ability to claim the power of law in their favor. Okay. So what do we do about this? Well, it's women's sports too, don't forget, by the way. Women's sports. Transgenders. They have a right to the access to sporting events of their gender identity. No, Title IX protections were there to protect girls. Oh, they are a girl today. Well, let them have at it then. Because, you know, never mind the fact that they trained in the weight room like a guy. They used to play in the guys' sports. But today, they're going to come break all the records in the girls' sports, get the scholarships, ruin your daughter's lifelong dreams of being on the Olympic team or getting a scholarship or, just for that matter, competing and getting a gold medal. And, oh, by the way, you have to lump it. Why? Because the Department of Education says so. But they're the Department of Education. How can they do this? I'll tell you how they're going to do it. They've got a lot of money. They've got a ton of money. They've got the billions and billions of dollars that are sent to the states to be applied to education. And what they're saying right now is non-compliant schools or districts will not receive the billions of dollars they use for things like free and reduced lunches for students, educational facilities and supplies, curriculum, all of it. You'd be amazed how many federal dollars flow into your state systems that once you're taking that money and you get used to it, then you can't have it because you misgendered somebody. That's what they want to do. In fact, that's what they're threatening to do. All right, just so you know, Biden is losing his shirt on this thing, and I am stoked about it. So several things have happened just in recent days. There's a couple of lawsuits Now, one of them is we're going to talk about in more details at the top of the hour with our friend Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty. But just so you know, it comes out of a case in Kansas. A federal judge last week, article here from Deseret.com, came out on Friday. Biden's Title IX gamble is losing. It's time to face the reality. So the federal judge, by the way, this is the fourth consecutive ruling against the Biden administration. The federal judge decided that the Biden administration's Department of Education had gone so far beyond the powers of the executive branch that it invalidates their ability to enforce the law as they see it. So now we got rulings that cover Utah, Alaska, Wyoming, Kansas, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, and Texas. And there's four other lawsuits, one of which includes Alabama, that are out there right now still. So to get around all of the things that they're saying in their Department of Education's imaginations, the judge, District Judge John Brooms in Kansas, he ruled that no, it was not ambiguous. You can't just interpret it. It was clear. There's a difference between sex and gender identity. Sex is what you are biologically when you're born, and the law says sex. And until Congress changes that wording, it is what it is. You can't get around it. Stop it. Stop trying. So here's the deal. The court determined that this was what they call part of the major questions doctrine. And if you're not familiar with that, what it basically means is major question doctrine is that major questions or substantive issues of law have to be determined by Congress. They cannot just be interpreted by a regulatory body or a department. It rebalances things. It basically says, stop trying to pretend you can make the law be what you want it to be. Departments, EPA, OSHA, Department of Education, ATF, all the rest of them. A major question doctrine has to go either to Congress for revision or to the courts for interpretation. Departments don't have that luxury. Here's the interesting thing, and I'll tell you this right before the break. This case went one step further, y'all. I mean, think about it. I've never heard of this before. But Judge Brooms, he didn't believe he could put a nationwide injunction on. He put it on just for the states that were involved. But he went one step further. The states that were involved and the plaintiffs, wherever they may be. Do what? Yes. So the groups that filed this suit, get this. Female Athletes United, Young Americans Foundation, and Moms for Liberty, wherever they may be, their members cannot be subject to the interpretation of the new Biden rule on Title IX. What that basically means is, if you're a member of Moms for Liberty, and someone says, discrimination, you can't do that under Title IX, you can say, how you like me now? Because I'm a member of Moms for Liberty. I'm saying this may equate to an advertisement for a national recruiting drive. It says right here in the article, and I'll go to the break after this, while the four states were the primary plaintiffs, the other plaintiffs also included non-governmental organizations whose members have children in schools around the country. And in finding for the plaintiffs, Judge Brooms, in essence, decreed that any school enrolling students who are or whose parents are members of these organizations are found to be covered by the injunction. That is unique and different. That just basically said, Moms for Liberty is on a recruiting drive right now. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll give you more on this because there's another case, that may undo the whole thing. And then top of the hour, Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty calling in to take a victory lap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so I'm in this number one of the triple dipper, saving Title IX. There is the amazing ruling that just came out from Kansas that I told you about a moment ago, the one that not only said in four states we're putting an injunction on the Title IX interpretation that the DOE just came out with. Not only that, they're saying that if you're a member of this group, no matter where you are in the nation, you're considered covered because your organization was one of the plaintiffs. Well, that's cool. Then there's another case that we talked about in some detail last week. It's a case that It came out of Loper Bright Enterprises v. Raimondo, but in that case, in the Raimondo case, they overturned what has long been known as the Chevron defense. Chevron defense. What Chevron defense basically said was, in prior court rulings, the Supreme Court had decided that, well, you know, we're going to defer to those agencies and regulatory bodies, those departments. We're going to defer to them because they're the experts. So, hey, you know, if the law is not otherwise clear, but they've interpreted it, well, you just got to do it. So when the ATF says a bump stock makes it a machine gun, it just does. When the Department of Education says, we believe that Title IX includes gender identity, well, under the Chevron defense, maybe it just would, because they're supposedly the experts. Well, in the case that came out just last week, you may recall we had an expert on the show with us, a law professor named Adam McLeod, who did an amazing job unpacking this case for us. And he talked about it in the broad perspective, right? Let me weed it down to what the Chevron defense being reversed, completely reversed, by the Supreme Court last week may do to Title IX. Story here from the Washington Examiner, Dateline last Thursday. When the Supreme Court overruled the Chevron defense, it may have also stripped the Biden administration's only line of defense for overhauling Title IX, says some experts. Now, I will tell you this. Our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, disagrees. He thinks that maybe it doesn't impact Title IX. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the case that I'm talking about, the Alliance Defending Freedom, a great group that does all these special interest lawsuits all over the nation, they filed an amicus brief saying that if they did allow the Chevron defense to be upheld, that Title IX is going to be destroyed. And that it's not going to be just a matter of whether it will, it's a matter of how quickly it will. So as things stand, Chevron remained a shield for executive branch officials, said the ADF. Well, Chevron was completely dismantled. Not only that, but in another case, a U.S. district judge has already referenced the Chevron defense as something that may give the ability for the DOE to do what it does. And now that Chevron has been done, has been reversed, you're looking at a situation where, hang on a second, if the federal courts were already saying the Department of Education could use the Chevron defense, and now the Supreme Court has said, guess what? Chevron defense just went away forever and ever, amen. Then I think that by virtue of putting it all that together, in its totality, you're looking at the Chevron defense just got removed. And the fact that it did means anything like the Title IX rewrite we're trying to see the Biden administration perpetrate on us is going to have to go back through the courts, or at the very least through Congress for revision. That's a lot, and I know it. But the reality is this. It's fun, man. It is fun when you watch the Trojan horse wind up getting just dismantled before he even gets dragged through the gate, and I'm loving it. Let's keep the fight up. Coming right back, Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty. We'll talk about it more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this beautiful Monday. And we're going to the phones right now because on the line with us is Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty chapter president in Madison, Alabama, frequent flyer here on the show, and we're going to talk to her about Title IX for a bit. Emily Jones, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are y'all?
We're good. We're good. It's good to see you out at First Friday in Gadsden last Friday night. By the way, that was about the sweatiest Friday night I think I've ever experienced on the streets of Gadsden.
I was going to say, y'all made it nice and hot for us, so thank you for keeping us on our tips. But it was fun. It was.
Just our way. But by the way, you were doing a bit of a recruiting drive that night for Moms for Liberty, which is pretty timely considering the ruling y'all just got from the Federal District Court in Kansas. Talk to us about what you know.
Yes. So the federal ruling came out that really, when I first read it, thought it only applied to these four states where the lawsuit was filed, and then later put it all together that it actually applies to any school across the country if a school has a child enrolled whose parent is a member of Moms for Liberty. And if that's the case, and in these states that that were mentioned in the lawsuit, they cannot implement Title IX, period. It is a federal ruling now.
Right.
So there's four states, Utah, Kansas, Alaska, and a fourth one. Like, nobody in the state can do it. And then everywhere else in these schools where a parent has a child enrolled, they cannot implement anything regarding Title IX in those specific schools as well. So it's pretty fascinating.
I think the most fascinating piece for me, and by the way, when you alerted me to this, I think, last week, you said this is going to be something that, you know, could in fact impact membership with Moms for Liberty because it covers Moms for Liberty members nationwide or something like that. And I thought, what? How does that work? And then I read up on it. I'm like, good Lord, it does. So you can be in Alabama, Florida, Alaska, or wherever, not in this four-state district area they're talking about, but you're a member of Moms for Liberty, you're protected, right?
You are right. And then the even stranger thing is the judge made it effective on the 15th of July. So he basically gave Moms for Liberty 2 weeks to go on a massive recruiting effort to get as many parents across the entire country signed up to be members. And in a lot of our chapters, it's free. To become a member at the national level, it's free. So you can literally spend 5 minutes of your time becoming a member for free in an organization that prevents your school from implementing Title IX.
Okay, I did not know that.
Talk about
protecting kids. Where, okay. All right. This is, I didn't even mean for us to get this deep into the idea of membership, but now that you said that, I got to ask. So if folks want to join, like right now, can they go to our website and sign up?
Yeah, go to momsforliberty.org, and no kidding, there's a big button that says join the fight.
No kidding. All right, so.
Yeah, it's that simple.
That's, all right, that is, by the way, I'm thinking, how Moms for Liberty is not but 4 years old, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
What an amazing impact two ladies from Florida have made on the world, and now folks like you are making it in your part of the world, and it's just like, this is what happens when people get busy.
Yeah, I mean, it's I always say, you know, like, this is the God movement, because there's absolutely no way in the world I could ever make half this stuff happen. Like, this is God. And that's what this is. I mean, one ruling that 99% of Moms for Liberty people were not even paying attention to, and boom, you want to protect your kids, spend 5 minutes and become a member, and you can prevent this from being in your school, regardless of what's happening with your federal cases. So, pretty awesome.
Well, and I know you guys have been working on membership yourself. You were doing that last Friday night in Gadsden, for that matter. But are you guys seeing an uptick in response? Are you seeing folks yourself that are interested in expressing interest?
We are. We've gotten several new memberships that came through this morning, and we really just started at 8 o'clock this morning getting the message out to everybody, because, you know, we found out about it late last week. It was the holiday. Like, we knew no one was going to pay attention to it. So we kind of held off until this morning, and as of 8 o'clock this morning, started sending out the emails and putting stuff out on social media and all that. So we're slowly starting to see the impact and everything trickling in, and hope to really see that pick up in the coming days as we increase our awareness to everybody, because most people just don't know that they can truly prevent, you know, not just your kid being exposed to it, but thousands of kids across the state can truly be protected by a simple 5-minute time commitment to become a member of an organization.
And so you're working the issue from your level with North Alabama and Madison and other central chapters in Alabama, but is National Moms for Liberty, the national organization, they're actually pressing forward on this ruling as well?
Yep, they did. And this is actually how I found out. Our two co-founders, Tina Deskovich and Tiffany Justice, did a live Facebook last, whatever the third was. And I just happened to see it when I was driving somewhere, and I turned it on to listen to them. And that's where they talked about this membership, you know, preventing the implementation. And they're doing the Facebook Lives to get people aware out there. And then they're putting things out via email, and they've sent notes to the chapter chairs to let us know, you know, the true impact of all of it, and trying to get people spun up. They've given us some sample verbiage to use, some graphics and all that stuff. So they're trying to arm the chapters with as much information as they can to get the message out a little bit more local.
No, that's great.
And supposedly, even though I've not seen it and it may be out there, one of the states that was in the lawsuit was Kansas. And it was the Kansas AG that called Tina and Tiffany last week and said, here's the ruling, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be making a push as the AG of the state, telling everybody to get their kids signed up, or to tell parents to get signed up to be a member. So it, that may have come out. I've not seen it yet, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, you'll get a kick out of this. While I'm sitting here talking to you, one of our text line messages just popped in. Kim from Athens has texted in and said, just join Moms for Liberty. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kim. That
absolutely.
Is awesome.
That is good. All right. Well, listen, that's very cool. I'm going to be telling some family members and friends they need to do the same thing. But let's switch gears for a minute. You guys are really fighting this Title IX issue because of what it does to, you know, kids and education environment and all of it. And one of the things that you guys have been doing is hosting town halls across North Alabama. You just had your first one. You got some more coming up. How'd the one in Shelby County go?
It was fantastic. We had it at the North Shelby Library, and I think their capacity in the room is about 200, and we maxed that out and then had overflow.
Wow.
They kind of have a large hallway kind of corridor, and there were people standing out there listening in. I saw in one of the pictures people were actually sitting in the floor because they had been out there for so long, but they were sitting in the floor listening to the speakers and all that. So we had a great turnout. Susan DeBose spoke about her legislation, and she did a phenomenal job and basically promised to keep fighting this battle until we get legislation passed that defines what is a man, what is a woman. And then A.G. Marshall spoke about the lawsuit from the state of Alabama, where we are with that, and kind of update. He did fabulous, as always. And then we had a representative from Alliance Defending Freedom speak, and he was just amazing. He is very knowledgeable on free speech, and that was a big focal point of everything with Title IX is the compelled speech element. So he did a great job just really breaking that down and putting it in kind of layman's terms of what that means and why parents need to be concerned. So they did great.
That's a great groove. What a good lineup. So let me ask you this: it was not billed as if you're conservative, you can come. So was it one of those? I mean, I read one of the Shelby County Reporter had an article on it, and it sounds like there were people there that were on both sides of the issue. So how did that go?
It really went pretty good considering. There was probably 40-ish people in opposition to the topic, I should say, in the room. Everybody had to sign in. We checked IDs, and that may have helped kind of keep everybody under control. We also probably had about 20 law enforcement present, if not more.
Yeah.
And that local, that's the AG's team, you know, that seeing some huge swole-up guy standing in the corner ready to escort you out can kind of keep you in line.
That's what bouncers are for, right?
Exactly. He earned his money that day. But, I mean, they did really good. They engaged, you know, they clapped or booed, as you would expect. They submitted questions, and some of them we read, some of them were completely off-topic, so we ignored those. But afterwards, one of those in opposition stayed back to help clean up, and then another one stopped one of the guys from the organization and just said, you know, thank you for asking some of our questions. Like, we never expected you to actually address some of the questions. And one of them in particular was, what do you say to parents that want to raise their children to be trans? And the answer was, you get to do that. That's what parental rights are. I may disagree with it on a personal level, but yeah, parental rights are parental rights. You get to make those choices for your kids. So I think it helped them see we're not these horrible people that the media portrays us to be. We actually are pretty level-headed on a lot of these topics.
Yeah, I've got an article here from, the Daily Beast, I think it was. Yeah, Daily Beast calls y'all that national extremist group. Who just talks about your list of anxieties about what's going to happen to the world. I thought, my gosh. all right, so that town hall is very cool. What a great way to get the word out and give folks a chance to participate in the dialogue. But you got more coming up. That was just the first of a several, right?
It was. So we've got the next one coming up in Gunnersville on August the 12th at the Gunnersville Rec Center. It is a huge space. I walked through it the other day, and I think capacity is probably 380 people. It's gigantic.
Okay.
So plenty of space for those in the community to come out to it. We'll have the same lineup. We'll have Susan DeBose there, A.G. Marshall, and then someone from Alliance Defending Freedom will all be there.
Okay.
So it's doors open at 5, the programming part will start at 6. So we've contacted all the legislators and kind of 4 different counties in the area to let them know. So really just trying, like you said, to get the word out, let parents hear firsthand what all this means. The big difference between this August event and the July event is that the August event will be post-implementation date. So yeah. Title IX, if it's allowed to be implemented, goes into effect in public schools on 1 August. So obviously this event on the 12th, we'll know where we are in terms of implementation and what that's really doing in our schools. So I think that will probably drive a whole lot of parents.
I think it will too.
At least I hope so.
And I'll tell you what else needs to drive parents is go to momsforliberty.org. Is that right? Momsforliberty.org?
That's it.
And just join for free. And then by being a joined member, you can claim the protections of that Kansas lawsuit that has happened. That's great stuff. Emily Jones, as always, man, thank you so much for what you do and for being in the fray, getting out there in the arena and just driving on, all right? Stir that pot.
Well, thank you.
All right. See you soon.
See ya.
All right. Look, as we head to the break, let me just say that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Exactly. Is getting busy. And Emily told me one time, too, that it's not like she has a background in doing this kind of stuff. She just got irritated one day at what was happening at her son's school and decided to get busy. Just like 2 moms from Florida that are now in charge of a national movement. Love that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. So let me get a few text messages caught up and move forward through those. Dustin from Hazel Green earlier says, Phil, look up Stephen Hunter's Bob Lee Swagger series. Oh, yeah, good stuff. The first novel, Point of Impact, was what the movie Shooter is based on, except that he's a Vietnam veteran. I am aware, man. In fact, I just recently decided that I needed to pick one of those up. Stephen Hunter is one of Jack Carr's favorite authors. Inspiration to his writing, The Third Bullet is the best. The Third Bullet is the best book. It's his spin on the JFK conspiracy. Mm. Yeah, there were some cool characters in the movie Shooter. I can't imagine how it comes out in the novel. So I will. Thank you, Dustin from Hazel Green. I will check that out. I need to get that on my reading list. I tend to read some of my nonfiction stuff from a Kindle, just because I can, you know. And I'll be honest with you, so I can read in bed and it turns off by itself when I fall asleep. That's why. But anyway, Jeff from Indiana says we need to have truth in labeling. The Department of Education should now be known as the Department of Indoctrination because that's what they are. I believe you, brother. He also texted before that and says regarding Biden getting called at 3 in the morning for a crisis. He says, hey, Phil, they only wake you up at 3 in the morning when somebody else has already made the decision. They just need him to read what they wrote for him. He has absolutely no command of any situation. Ow. Wow. I ain't arguing with you. Not at all. Marshall from Dubai says, why can't we call crazy what crazy is? It's crazy. He says, sorry, I'm not going to walk around with a color code chart to figure out what these people are from day to day. Drop back 10 yards and punt. Marshall's referring to earlier in the show, I mentioned that just this morning, I saw a little, you know, social media video of this young, I called her a bless her heart liberal, who changes her gender on a regular basis. And keep in mind, by the way, they say there's over 107 genders. 107 genders? Like, genders.
Does this include animals?
Brother, I have no idea. It's really kind of weird to even dive into it, but 107 genders. I may later on the show, I've got a list of the longest version of the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym and all the things it means. I may have to just read that out on the air. I included it in my podcast, which comes out this week. But yeah. So this young lady, by the way, she has different bracelets. Different colors for whatever gender she is that particular day so that her coworkers will know who she is at any given time. And I said that used to be called schizophrenic, but now it's called gender identity. Gender fluidity, I guess, is what it really is. Gender fluid. It's just crazy. Marshall's right. It's crazy. Bruce from Springville. Looks like that Trojan horse you referred. By the way, if you heard my monologue earlier, the Trojan horse is Joe Biden. If you that Trojan horse you referred to had a bunch of Willie Pete rounds fired into it. And I know what Willie Pete is. It's white phosphorus. And he tells me that in the next text. But I get it. All right, listen. We got plenty more where that came from. Coming up, we're going to change to a new dipper, all right? So we're going to jump into something called the SAVE Act. If you're not familiar, you need to be, because right now there are conservative Republicans in D.C. trying to ensure some measure of security on all these illegals flooding across our borders and making sure they don't have the ability to vote. They're not talking about election law. They're not trying to change things or have the feds take over elections, which I would be against. They're trying to say, if you're going to vote in federal elections, you got to have proof of citizenship. Yeah, Democrats don't like it. Go figure. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.